Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on another Tuesday doing the Stock Market Weekly Report, Tuesday, July 31st, last day of the month. You sound kind of funny.
Really? Like in comedic or as in odd?
It sounds like you're using a cheap microphone.
It may be. You know, I have received so many emails over the last few weeks, months. Sometimes they tell me they can't hear you, they can't hear me. Sometimes they can hear me, but I fade. I mean, it's a combination of things. But I'll tell you, I have this studio system I use on my Mac for this particular podcast, and I have this Fire Studio Mobile. It's a FireWire thing that hooks into a Shure blah-de-de-blah microphone. I upgraded to Mountain Lion, and this is the second audio problems. I feel like I'm back in the world of Windows. Remember when you used to upgrade and the drivers weren't there?
Yeah.
That's what I feel like I'm in. It's like all of a sudden I never had this before with Macs either, whereas you all of a sudden can't use something. So I wrote to Mackie today. I said, like, what's the story with this? I said, oh, well, our systems are not yet compatible 100% with Mountain Lion. I mean, like, they didn't have enough time to get this stuff working? I don't know.
I know every time this happens to Curry, you know, it takes a week to figure out how to fix it.
Yeah, that works for a while, but I'm telling you, so I feel like I'm in the world of Windows again. Anyway,
I go from Windows to Windows to Windows, and I don't have any problems. And I don't have anybody forcing me to upgrade either. This machine that I use for the podcast is an XP machine.
XP. You still work on an ME sometimes, right?
Yeah, right. That's it. That's what it is.
Yep. So I know because who wrote me? Somebody said that if I get a Countryman mic, one of those little invisible Madonna type of microphones, that would really – so if anybody would like to – lend me a Countryman wireless mic. I'll be happy to check it out.
Is it too expensive, too rich for your blood?
It's like $300-$500, depending on what you get, and if you get the wireless or the wired. And I can't imagine it's going to sound that much different. It still has to go through the same system, you know, to get into the Mac.
Yeah, well, who knows?
But I'm accepting all gifts, by the way. So I think that's a good thing, right?
I think
help out the show.
It's a good policy.
Yeah. So what's going on? What's new? What's happening in the markets?
Yeah, what is happening? You tell me.
I think these markets are still kind of like broken. Since the last week when we talked, the movement in markets. So we talked on Tuesday night. It was Wednesday. Wednesday markets were trailing down. Thursday, Mario Draghi from the ECB, the equivalent of Ben Bernanke here, said, well, you know what? We are going to do whatever it takes. We were going to stand behind the euro no matter what. And markets got all excited. The euro vaulted higher, and there was no definition or backing up of what he was saying with the plan. And all of a sudden, markets moved up nicely. Okay, then comes Friday. Friday, Merkel from Germany and Hollande from France said to the letter the exact same words, because I guess they figured, wow, it worked on Thursday. Well, let's do it on Friday. So the stock market started climbing up. And then there was this announcement at 1 o'clock, 1 p.m., that Mario Draghi was going to meet with the head of the Bundesbank, which is German central bank, to talk about things like bond buying, additional stimulus, direct injections into banks and into sovereigns. And the market went ballistic on the upside. It was like this vertical parabolic move of the market from about 1 o'clock till 4 o'clock on Friday. And I think it was timed very well. But again, the big issue was nobody cared to really look at what this guy was saying or to think about what the ramifications were. They just said, what the hell, we're buying stocks. And what's interesting is that the Bundesbank in Germany has been dead set against putting any more money into the deal without any kind of structural reforms. So that's, in other words, they don't want to give away just more money.
Right.
So. By Draghi going to meet with these guys, I mean, I don't know what he expected is going to happen. So meanwhile, we find out over the weekend into today that sure enough, the Bundesbank is saying, you know, no way, we're not going to be doing this. And markets started to kind of, you know, come down a little bit yesterday and fell a little bit today. So it's kind of we're back to the same thing, as we keep on saying, of a lot of promises made with no backup, and it's only a, frankly, a manipulation of the market to try to get the whole thing to be elongated. You know, the potential for, you know, this thing not falling apart a longer period of time. One guy said tonight, he said, you know what, for God's sakes, can we just get to the end of this already, no matter what's going to happen, good or bad? You know, it's torture in between. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can just imagine. You know? A lot of these guys can't be, you know, be too happy about this kind of horrible environment.
Yeah, very difficult. So you also have this hope trade that's still going on where you see a stock come out with earnings and it's maybe not so good. They take the stock down into the after hours or pre-market. And then the next day, all of a sudden, it's right back to where it was or even higher. And a great example, did you watch what happened with Amazon last week?
No, I did, kind of, but I didn't follow it too closely since I'm not invested.
Yeah, so Amazon comes out with earnings on, I believe it was Thursday after the close. And they look pretty ugly. I mean, they really were ugly. They were – they missed on revenues. They missed on earnings, EPS.
Yeah, but they're building all these warehouses.
They guided down significantly.
Yeah, I mean, they're changing what they're going to do. I think it's fine personally, but I guess, you know, it's –
No, but that's a good point that you mentioned, because when you first look at all the numbers and you try to subtract out the extra items and put back things, because Amazon is always a little bit muddy their way that they put this together for the earnings. Now what happens is you look at this and you're saying, oh, that's horrible, and they're even guiding even lower. But this is exactly what they've done for several quarters. They keep on saying the reason why we're guiding lower is because the money that we're going to be making, we're going to be putting back into distribution facilities and enhancing our programs and all, you know. So in other words, they're doing a lot of internal spending. And each and every time over the last, I don't know, two or three quarters, the stock goes down initially and then flies higher. Stock was down 7%. It closed the next day, in other words, in the regular hours, up 8%.
Hmm.
Same thing happened with – a similar thing happened with Apple. Apple's numbers were abysmal, right? I don't know if we talked about that, but Apple's numbers were horrible. Apple's down 4% in the after hours. If it was any other company that missed as much as Apple missed and guided down as much as Apple guided down, it'd be a 25% hit to the stock. But it's Apple, so you don't get that kind of move.
Right.
The next day, Apple's kind of just sitting there doing its thing. The next day, Apple's up like 1.5%. And today, it's up 2.7%. So the entire loss from the bad earnings, the outlook being reduced, has been wiped out. And that saves the market because 20% of the NASDAQ 100 is made up of Apple. So therefore, if Apple's up 2 and let's just call it 2, almost let's say 3%, that's like 60 basis points on the NASDAQ 100.
Yeah, it's quite a bit.
So the NASDAQ 100 actually was just positive for the day, but without Apple in there, it would have been down probably 50 basis points. So we have this kind of weird thing going on where, you know, there's a lot of buying going on, as I call it, the hope trade, the hope that things will be getting better and that things will be changing, and then in the future, it will be good, so why not just get the stock now? Kind of a very strange way to trade or to invest.
Yeah, especially in a market that's sketchy. Yeah.
Exactly. And then today, 3 seconds before the close, it's the end of the month. Something that is called window dressing goes on, but also rebalancing. 3 seconds, truly 3 seconds before the close, they're saying that someone was in a desperate hurry to dump 60,000 E-mini contracts, or the equivalent of about $4.1 billion in notional value of stocks. Three seconds into the close, I happen to notice that there was a very move all of a sudden, you know, right at the end of the market today. And this all obviously affected ETFs and a lot of other things, and that was a pretty big move. And it continued after the close in the futures market, where the futures were down as much as, I guess, 3 or 4 more points right afterwards. And it's kind of interesting. The same – we've seen this kind of movement before. If something like this would have happened in the regular market, like at, I don't know, pick a time, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, whatever, 8 o'clock in the morning, 9:30 in the morning or whatever, it would have been devastating to the market. Hmm. I mean, it would have just smacked stocks hard.
Well, timing is everything.
Yeah, it seems that way.
So hope for the iPhone 5 is lifting shares.
Mm-hmm.
What do we know about the iPhone 5? I think Apple's going to I wrote a column on the MarketWatch about, I think it was MarketWatch, discussing how Apple has to come through with something cool. Maybe it was PC Magazine. Because they can't, because all these cool Samsung phones, you know, the thin ones with the big screen, they're bright. They're real pretty.
Right. And I think the only thing that I saw was that, again, because we don't know really, and who knows what information is true and not, it's going to be thin, which is interesting that you say that about the Samsungs, and it's going to have a larger screen. And this was done by looking at some of the channel checks with suppliers and all that, again, who are not supposed to leak any data. But supposedly it can be a little bit bigger and a little bit thinner.
Yeah.
So
it's got to be a lot thinner and a lot bigger, but that's another story.
I mean, how much bigger can it be? I mean, I think the iPhone is relatively very nice size. I mean, it can be thinner, but who cares about it? I mean, it's just not that thick. How thick is it now? Like a
it's clunky three thick, yeah.
Is it clunky thick? You think so?
Yeah.
Well, you like those. You like the Razr.
The Razr. It's like an ongoing gag with you.
Yeah, well, sorry.
Did you see that report, by the way, talking about ongoing gags? The report that was done by some research company, I think it's just bogus, about people in the airport with their shoes. They take their shoes off and then they spread all kinds of diseases.
They did not.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about it on the No Agenda show.
Oh, did you mention me at least?
Yeah. I did. I always mention when something this particular subject comes up.
Oh, I'd love to see see that. That seems to be – wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, look at airport sanitation or something like that. I don't know how you're going to look it up, but you'll find it.
I'll find it. If it has to do with taking off shoes in an airport and getting diseases, I will find that article. That is high-end grossness. No grosser, by the way, than in Cambodia where you put your feet in a pool of water. And these little
fish.
And
the fish eat the calluses off. Yeah.
Yeah.
You did that.
I did not do that. I watched it because my friend did it. And I was just the whole thing seemed like, okay, let me get this straight. Somebody is putting their feet in. The fish are eating it. The fish then see my feet. They're going to start eating my feet. And there's going to be like a foot swap going on. And I said, this is kind of gross.
Kind of gross.
I mean, it wasn't expensive. I think you could sit there for about a half hour for $1 and you get a beer.
Well, it's a cheap beer, and you get your feet cleaned.
Yeah, so there you go.
By fish.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's ever seen that before, but you really do have to look that up. It's the, it's what we call a Asian fish pedicure, I think they call it. It's really kind of interesting to watch. These fish are just, you know, it's amazing. Highly trained.
Trained on eating human flesh.
It's amazing. So China's out with their data, their official PMI, the Purchasing Managers Index, and we've been seeing a very close to a contraction area for manufacturing in China. The unofficial HSBC number came out last week. They call it the Flash Index. It's the preliminary. It focuses more on smaller companies, and that is in contractionary, I think, in the 49 zone. Under 50 is contraction. The official number came out tonight, and it was just over the 50 mark at 50.1, which was lower than expectations, and that is a really big problem. And there's a lot of people wondering, you know, what's going on with China? Are they going to have a hard landing? Why has the threat of global coordinated stimulus not done anything for their markets? The Shanghai B market, which is we have the NASDAQ, we have the Dow, and we have all the different stocks. The B index is at the same level that it was in 2009 now. So it's really retraced dramatically. It was down as much as 4.5% yesterday before it kind of staged a major reversal to the upside and ended flat. But, you know, it's very clear that China is slowing down, and if we can trust this number, it's at
– which we can't.
Which we can't, but if in some case that we could, it's at stall speed at best. Now, if anything, the number is going to be put out better than worse if it was something that was manipulated, right? Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, so obviously.
Therefore, this is the best case scenario here, that it's at right on the edge of falling over and rolling over.
Yeah.
So with that, I would bet – I haven't looked, but I would bet dollars to donuts right now that the China – markets, excluding Hong Kong, are up on that news. Because the worse the news, the more potential for stimulus is the only thing that everybody's clinging on to. Back to the whole hope trade.
Okay.
Crazy doings going on there. And I wanted to mention also there was something about did you see the blackouts in India?
No.
Okay. Really? This is unbelievable. There's been two major blackouts over the last couple of days, power outages, blackouts, that affected India. Take a guess at how many people were without power today for 7 hours. This just whatever you're going to guess, go higher.
100 million.
600 million. 600 million people in India were out of power, causing major problems, obviously, for companies and individuals. And I mean, 600, a major blowdown of their whole grid went down. Half the country.
That's interesting. How did I miss that news? I must have been busy all day. When did it happen? Last night? Yesterday?
It was throughout the day today. And supposedly they're blaming it on some of the states, which is like their cities, pulling excessive power for some unknown reason, and it causing a whole just breakdown of the system. Now, what's interesting to note is that there's about, 1.2 billion people in India, I think, right?
Something like that.
So if 600 million people were out of power, that's half. But I'm of the thought that not everybody in India has power. So therefore, it probably was a much greater outage and percentage of people who had power.
I wonder if that's true. I think the way they calculate these things, it would be the areas that were affected, and they calculate how many people were within those areas. And that would be a total. They wouldn't try to parse it to the extreme you're going to. So I'm thinking no to that idea.
So if there's four people in a house, that's four people without power.
Yeah.
Okay, but still, there's some regions in India that are pretty obscure and don't have as much power. But I understand your point. I mean, still, however you want to slice it, that's a lot of peeps without power.
Yeah, the whole northern part of the country. So, Well, that's interesting.
I don't know what they're going to do about that and having a power grid failure like that, which obviously affects everything today.
Yeah, well, the railway, is electric in India mostly. And, and all the outsourcing companies, at least the ones up there. I don't think looking at the map of where this happened, I'm not sure that Mumbai is in there.
It's interesting you mentioned that because you have all those call centers there, which I'm assuming have major, power backup through generators. I'm assuming that.
I would hope.
Yeah, I would hope. And if not, there's a trade idea.
That's what I'm thinking.
Find the companies that do backup of not your APC and things like that, a little bit bigger.
Yeah, no. APC, they have a couple of companies they own that do the huge monstrous ones for hospitals. But I'm thinking backup generators, the guys who make the turbines.
Right, like GE.
Yeah.
Or some of those other big companies that are involved in the electricity. Or even, as obscure as this may sound, is really building up the solar power. Because therefore you don't have that. Although the solar power would be – well, individually, right? Individual solar power versus – anything from the grid. Nuclear, mini nuclear plants.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about those?
The whole thing could have been a scam to sell nukes.
That's what it was. Speaking about nukes, the whole thing in the Middle East is really heating up with Israel contemplating a preemptive strike on Iran. And in his infinite wisdom, Republican candidate Romney said that he would support a strike by Israel on Iran. I mean, what kind of craziness is that?
Guy's too much.
What? He also proclaimed that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel.
Well, the Israelis say that.
I don't know. Who is he to be saying that? I mean, that's kind of crazy. He's going there talking about war. What would war be good? War is kind of, not a good thing. I don't know why he's promoting it.
I don't know what he's thinking. I gave up on the guy when he not only condoned but encouraged during the debates torture. I just said, I'm not voting for this guy. I'm not voting for Obama either because he's actually doing all the stuff that Romney wants to do. So
yeah, it's back to the same problem. I mean, they're talking about Condoleezza Rice now as a potential running mate. Mario Rubio.
Rubio's the best choice.
Rubio would be good. I think Chris would be good, but you know my problems with him.
Chris Christie?
Yeah.
The fat guy?
That's my problem.
Yeah.
His let me tell you something. I don't care what color, shape, or size you are, but the fact is that he needs to just have a better, you know, image if he's, you know, going to be running the running. I just think he looks really sloppy. Not because of just his weight, just the way he is.
Yeah.
I
agree. I think it's like, you know, you have to, in today's day and age with television and the rest of it, you have to be a little more conscientious. You just can't be the biggest, fattest guy. I mean, you have to be just, to maintain that weight, that size, you have to be eating all the time.
Right, and if you're eating all the time, you can't be making solid decisions because you're distracted.
Yeah, or you're logy.
What is logy?
You know, you eat too much, you can't really move.
Oh. As my son would call it, it's a food coma. A food coma. Yeah, exactly. So just to kind of finish up on our Apple discussion, so Apple is, you know, possibly coming out with this iPhone situation. They had the new refresh. They did the Mountain Lion. By the way, the Mountain Lion, in order to get Mountain Lion, I could pay $19.99, $20, for the copy of Mountain Lion. And everyone in my family who has the access to the my particular iTunes username and password can download it and install it as well. So I installed it on my computer at the office. I have a Mac, plus my PCs and all, but I have a Mac. I also have a laptop. My daughter has a laptop. So everybody in my family essentially just logs into my Apple ID, downloads it at no additional cost, and then upgrades. So I'm thinking, how hard is it then for somebody to find an Apple ID and just download it if there's no limitation on how many times you could do this?
Yeah, I would just call you.
Right. You know, I mean, there are those people that won't do won't do anything wrong like that and all, but they don't even make it difficult to just get the information. I don't know if there's some way that afterwards if you sign out or something, but that wouldn't be the case because my family all has their own Apple IDs, you know, for their own iTunes accounts and things like that. So I thought that was kind of weird, and it's a question of, you know, how much money. I think there was many millions of downloads already.
Sounds like they really want to get everyone to upgrade.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. For some reason,
My son looked at it. He says he won't upgrade. He doesn't like it.
What's wrong with it? It's basically, well, does he have the prior one? Does he have Lion or is he still on Snow Leopard?
No, he's got Lion.
What doesn't he like about it?
I don't know. I'm just saying. Mm. He said to me what it was, and it was like Apple talk. I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it has some interesting upgrades. I haven't tried the speech yet, speech recognition program. It's much more in line with what the iOS is. That's the big issue. It has the iOS kind of features where you have iChat, you have notes that synchronize, and you can use the notes there. And there's, you know, a lot of little things like that that are synchronized with the cloud, et cetera. But other than that, I don't see the big deal. It was interesting that somebody sent me an invitation to a meeting, and usually I'd get the pop-up just on my phone, let's say, through that, the way he did it. But it also came on my computer, which I thought was kind of cool, the reminder.
Huh.
I like that. And it comes right on your screen, just like you're kind of on the, you know, the iOS. So that was interesting.
We'll see how long you like that.
Yeah. No, I tried to turn it off already. I did. I said, wait a minute, I'm getting alarmed all over the place. As it is, I get sometimes when people call me on Skype, I got like five computers that start ringing.
You know? Right.
So have you looked at Fadebook lately?
What? Fadebook?
Fadebook, yeah.
What's
Fadebook? We call it Fadebook. Fadebook. It's the new name for Facebook after the stock is swooned.
Yeah, it's sinking like a rock. I wrote for MarketWatch. I wrote a little rundown on Facebook being a $7 stock.
I mean, it's so difficult right now to put an actual price on where everybody's wanting to, you know, handicap. Where is it going to? I mean, how'd you get to seven?
Some guy on TV was rationalizing, and he had all these reasons. But you can take a look at the price earnings growth versus growth. It's overpriced.
Right. But so has been companies like Priceline.com. I mean, you know, the big issue is these major growth companies are always way out of whack with the PE ratios and all that. But the question is Facebook not only out of whack with their PE ratio and all that, but do they have the potential to grow? I saw an interesting graph that showed that the usage and time spent on Facebook has been dropping, you know, in a very steady slope downward over the last couple of years.
Hmm.
And, you know, it really, you know, at first people are on it a lot and then assume those people stay. There's a lot of people that, you know, those stalkers, you know who you are, that kind of look at every photo and figure out where people have been and all. And then there's people that use it for just casually finding their high school buddy and for some communication. Then businesses are starting to use it. I don't get why a business would opt to have a Facebook page as some of their core – as their core site or a real big part of what they do versus their own website. Do you understand that?
Nope.
It doesn't make any sense to me because it doesn't really – it's so difficult
because
to get around.
I know why they do it, because somebody came in as a consultant, a 20-something public relations woman, and she's giddy about this, and she had this great idea and proved to everybody that nobody knows anything about social media but her, and
right.
talked some idiot into doing it, and she gets good money.
My wife was reading a book called, I think it was called Idiot's Guide to Social Media. She wanted to learn about this whole thing. And she opens up the page. She says, look at this. This is interesting. Look at all these places where you can submit your website and where you can get information from and where you should be. And it was like Alta Vista. I'm not kidding. And Lycos. And there was things like, you know, you make sure to have not only a Facebook page but a MySpace page. I was like, whoa, where is that coming from? And then I looked at the date. It's the latest one off the shelf. It was like 3 years ago that it was written.
3 years ago you wouldn't go to Lycos.
Well, whatever. I'm telling you, it was crazy. What were the other ones? There was another L, wasn't there? There was Dogpile, which maybe still there. Be there.
Dogpile's an aggregator.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was Excite. Was it Excite?
Oh, yeah, Excite. Yep, there was Excite. I remember that.
And then there was Ink to Me was another one. It was way back. Right. And which I think was bought by somebody. And then there was Fast. I forget about
mm-hmm.
that one.
Mm-hmm.
It was bought by Microsoft and scuttled. And what else? There's been two or three of them. That,
I mean,
kind of big for a short time.
Which ones did you – back then, which one did you like the best?
I've been a Google user from about within a year when they put it up.
Really?
Before that, I was using Alta Vista, but then once Compaq bought Digital Equipment Corporation, they didn't know what to do with Alta Vista. Huh. They could have been, of course, the Google of today.
Right.
But they're obvious idiots. And so they let that slide and fall apart, and so that faded. And I was never a big Yahoo user. A lot of people were using Yahoo in the mid to late 90s.
Well, that's because they had this search that was categorized and grouped. Remember that?
Yeah, it was a catalog, more of a catalog than
And it was something – it was a search that was supposedly scrubbed, and it was overseen by a group of people that specialized in a particular sector. And the only way to get in there was to submit it. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah, yeah, vaguely.
It was not easy to deal with. But anyway, Facebook is creating lots of losses. The latest is the revelation by I think it was UBS. I think it was UBS is showing a $350 million loss and cutting their second quarter profit by half. Blaming the gross mishandling of the stock market listing by NASDAQ for this major loss. I still don't understand how you lose $350 million on this deal, even if there was delay, there was mishandling of bids. I mean, what were you doing?
Really?
How were you getting to those kind of possible numbers, you know, to take that kind of loss? It seems absurd. I mean, you had to be – even if you had a straight investment – of $500 million in the company, you'd only lost $200-something million right now, and that was because the stock went down. You had plenty of time to get out beforehand. So the only thing they could be complaining about was all the glitches on the opening day. But again, to make a $350 million loss, you had to be doing something pretty funky and trading an excessive amount of shares.
Right.
I mean, so I don't understand, you know, what they're talking about. But I guess they have to have somebody to blame, because God forbid they blame their own people. Then, number one, they can't claim anything on a lawsuit. And the second thing is the shareholders won't like that.
Yeah, it's a quagmire.
Mm-hmm. So Microsoft, by the way, is rebranding their Hotmail. Did you see this?
Yeah, I saw this. I haven't figured out what they're trying to do here. They're doing a lot of crazy things that I think are all prelude to them really going big time into the retail side of things. And so, yeah, it's supposed to be more social. They had this phone. They tried to do some. I mean, they don't understand social, because the people that work there are not social. But that's okay. Let's just ignore that part of the scheme.
So you need to be kind of social, have friends and relationships, and be that kind of person, maybe to have the mindset to build something social.
It would seem so.
Yeah, okay, I'm with you. I gotcha.
But they play a big game. They like the word.
Right. Yeah, no, you have to, you know, the buzzword, social media, like it used to be, you know, China exports. But right now, or SEO, that, you know, everybody loves SEO. Nobody knows what the heck SEO is, but all these people, I got to have SEO for my website. Like, okay. Go ahead, go do it, man. But what they did was they now have, and what I did tonight was I changed my email. You have an alias that you can use now at the @outlook.com. So you can have, you know, John C. Dvorak @outlook.com. And you change, I got this actually from somebody at Microsoft. They said, grab your name now because they're going to start, you know, going soon. So I grab my alias, and it changes your Hotmail account to that name. Even though you still will get your old Hotmail email to your account, you have this new name. So it's like a secondary email, I suppose. And what was interesting was a couple things. First, I am not a premium subscriber. I don't think I'm a premium subscriber. You know, I have to check this actually. I may be a premium subscriber. I get all my email that goes to Hotmail is forwarded somewhere else. I don't use it at all. But I've had it so many years that sometimes people write me there, so it just forwards over to my Gmail. So now the account, when you open up the new screen and the new page and all that, it's the Outlook. It looks very much similar to, I guess, what Hotmail was looking like, but more like Outlook. And on the top it says SkyDrive. And in your SkyDrive you could choose from creating a new Word, Excel, or PowerPoint, very similar to what Google does with Google Docs and Google Drive. And that's all built in right now, plus Messenger is built in to make it, I guess, very equivalent to what Google does. So I agree with you that they're trying to do that, but I think they're also trying to create and push people into the online presence for their office, because that would be the ultimate way for them to make money if they can create an office equivalent online, and therefore, you know, you're never going to have supposed glitches because it's all an online deal. You know, you don't have to worry about installation, and they can manage the whole thing in the cloud, which is a much more profitable experience for them, because you only have one major, you know, situation to manage. You can cut out a lot of call center people.
Mm.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
But you're still not of the liking of Windows 8, right?
Yeah.
Still hate it.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I think I probably hate it.
Okay. The big issue is we have to figure out how to not make everything full Windows for you. That was the big issue.
Well, that is a big issue.
Right. Okay. What else we got? Okay, I was talking about Seagate being a short. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Western Digital came out with. First of all, Seagate has been kind of rising up ever so slowly and nicely over the last several months. Actually has a good year-to-date return. And even though everybody has said that hard drive sales are slowing and computer PCs are slowing, Western Digital comes out with a knock-your-socks-off announcement on earnings that takes the stock up like 20%. That was Western Digital. Okay. Seagate and Sympathy moves up about 10%. Their earnings are about 3 or 4 days later. So I said, you know what? This has been a stock that has been on our short list for a while. It looks like there's going to be a point of entry somewhere. And no better point to enter after it's been rushed up higher on high expectations. And even if they beat, they have to do something extraordinary to move up much more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So we short the stock. You know, we look at everything about it, and it seems like there's reasonable, limited risk on the upside at this point. Stock comes out with their earnings. They miss on revenue. They miss on EPS, and they guide slightly lower for the next couple of quarters, but say that their revenue for the year is going to be about where they expect it to be and what it was previously. Stock moves down about 4% overnight. Stock opens up about 8% down this morning. And throughout the day, it just trickles higher to a point where it was up almost a half a percent at one point, and it closed down about close to 2%. So these are these crazy kind of hope trades, the turnarounds that people looking at us to grab in on, which doesn't match with the fundamentals.
Hmm. Yeah, no kidding.
You know? And you have the reverse happening. Companies beat like crazy. Company today, Liquidity Services, beat, guided higher. Stock is up about 8, 9% on the open. And it starts fading throughout the day to a point where it was only up about 1% in the middle of the day. Finished the day up about 5%. And again, things kind of came in pretty hard at the end of the day today. But it's kind of this very strange action where if it's down, buy it. If it's up, sell it, short it. That's pretty much the whole that's the whole strategy.
I like it.
Yeah. That's, you know, if you play by those rules, something's down hard, hey, just buy it. Move on. That's great. Which then puts Groupon, Facebook, and a few other
– all those other losers. Zynga.
Yeah, Zynga into play. Now today the big word was, oh, maybe somebody's going to be buying Zynga. So Zynga got a little bit of a bid for a while there today. But their numbers are terrible. As a matter of fact, they're changing some of their marketing people around because they're pretty much disappointed with, you know, that. And Pincus is going to be taking over as the central focus point, you know, the CEO – from where, you know, where he distributed all those things before, and he's not happy with his management team, it seems. So anyway, housing market starting to perk up a little bit, maybe stabilizing. What do you think about that?
I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, the Case-Shiller 20 city number came out this morning on a year-over-year basis. It was down much less than anticipated, only down about 1% only. And on a month-over-month basis, it was actually up. And we're seeing a consistent move higher in home prices on average, not everywhere, on average over the last several months. Home builders have high expectations. Their stocks, some of the home builders are hitting, you know, 2-3-year highs. I mean, something like Lennar and
I think they're getting all their action in North Dakota.
Because of the fracking, I mean?
Well, it's a boom going on there.
Yeah, the whole fracking thing.
Well, it's more just fracking. They got all kinds of oil.
North Dakota, huh?
Yeah,
place you want to move, maybe? Have you been there?
Yeah, I have. I wouldn't move there if I had to.
What's going on there besides...
Besides being windy 24/7?
Is it really?
Oh, the worst. It's windy, windy, windy. It's very windy. If you like wind, it's a great place.
What's the difference between North Dakota and South Dakota?
It's windier in North Dakota.
Was it once one big country and they split it? How'd that happen? You couldn't think of another name?
It was called the Dakotas. It was a little too big, I think, to make into one giant state.
So they just had to split it up. Okay. Anyway, so there was there's some good news. A lot of people are calling for a bottom right now in the housing area, and that has given a real boost to REITs, for example, and anything real estate related. I don't know if you've seen any of this lately. Take a look at the symbol IYR. Hmm. This is an ETF that tracks real estate REITs primarily. And look at the chart on this thing. I'm going to pull it up here. IYR. Let's see. Let me look at a historical chart. Now, it's definitely below where it was back in 2006.
Okay.
Yeah, 2006. It was as high as what? About 92. It's currently trading at 65, though. It was as low as – I don't even know what low it was. It was as low as – I can't even see how low this is. I think it was as low as 20. So it's up like 300% since the low.
Yeah. Well, it would have been a good short at about 90.
Oh, yeah.
You drive it down, and then you would have picked it up again right at the bottom because everybody can do that. It's so easy.
Oh, naturally. Oh, it's very easy.
And then you plow it back up to 65. Yeah. I think it's probably
done, huh? No, it's actually cresting over the level. It's actually not too far away from the level. Let's see what price that was.
It's a lot more volume when it's going down than up.
Yeah, that's standard. Always the case. People panic on the way out and get in too late and slowly. That's standard. It doesn't matter which one it is. Let's see. I told you about that. Oh, here we go. Let's segue over to politics for a moment, shall we?
Yep.
How much money do you think was spent so far on the presidential election by all potential candidates, even ones that have pulled out?
So far?
Uh-huh.
Well, I know they're supposed to spend $1 billion each, so I suppose they probably are at least $1 billion.
Yeah, well, not so much yet, actually. There's a chart there that I gave you. Hmm. They're at $500 million, at $477 million so far. President Obama spent $212 million out of the $307 million he received. Romney spent $134 out of $156.
Obama's got twice as much money as Romney. All these guys are talking on the TV like Obama's broke. He's got no money. Romney's going to outspend him.
Yeah, it's amazing. It truly is double.
Yes,
Obama double. Has spent about double, and he has. You know, I saw a commercial the other day, an Obama commercial the other day, and it was talking about whatever it was talking about. And at the end, it came up with, "Hey, go to this website," you know, whatever it was, and there was a big click here button. And I was thinking, how come there's a click here button on my TV? What do you do with the click here button on the TV?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You think they could have maybe? Obviously, that commercial was made for the internet. They couldn't have pulled off that last slide and cleaned it up a little bit?
I don't know. All I know is that you get – I know that on the Dish Network now and some programs, they have like a click here thing that shows up and you can actually scroll to it and click on it. And it brings up a bunch of crap it downloads. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, maybe Mike TV wasn't equipped for it.
Maybe or not.
Yeah. So, I mean, you look at Herman Cain, $16 million spent. He spent he's still got about $20,000 left or so in the campaign pockets. Jill Stein.
Who the heck is Jill Stein?
I have no idea, but she spent $179,000. Obviously, it looks like it takes upwards of about, well over $1 million to get your name even noticed, right?
Yeah, apparently.
You know, Gary Johnson.
Gary Johnson's running for the Libertarian. He's the Libertarian candidate. The Libertarian Party's trying to – I'm going to vote for him, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, because I can't vote for Romney and Obama. They're a couple of war criminals. Or one's a war criminal. The other one's a war criminal wannabe. So Johnson is – who's a good guy. The Libertarian Party's trying to get 1 million votes. During this next election, I think they might pull it off just to show that there's some viability to a third party.
If they get 1 million votes, think about that. They had the best conversion ratio on money spent.
Buck a vote.
Right.
Yeah.
How great is that?
Yeah. That would be great.
So I was thinking that we talked about, you know, who is this good for? Who are the elections good for? We talked about print and we talked about various media, television, et cetera, radio. Think about this. This is technically – a stimulus package
for the media,
for the graphic media
right.
Graphics,
advertising
artists.
Agencies, artists. Yeah, no, it is
major stimulus package. I mean, $477 million.
It's going to go over $1 billion. It's going to be close to $2 billion when it's over. When they really crank it up,
I find this to be horrifying. Don't you find this to be a little bit? Out of whack with
us
reality?
Totally out of whack, but it's never going to end. It's going to get worse every year because the media is just going to keep promoting the idea, even though they claim that they don't like it. I mean, I've argued this, and people say, well, it can't be. Yeah, no, who's the beneficiary of all this money? It's the media companies, the advertising agencies, the artists, the people that are right. That are influence peddlers. So what influence are you think is ever going to be public financing with these people getting this kind of money in on every 4 years and in between? Nah.
Right. Not going to happen, right?
I wouldn't, unless you want to shoot yourself in the foot.
Right. Crazy. Oh, well, so we'll see what happens. Obviously, it's going to be a continuation of the same. And by the way, I haven't seen any commercials really that talks about anybody's qualifications. It's only been a smack on the other.
Yeah, a lot of negative campaigning. It's great.
A lot of negative campaigning, which you just, you know, hope that somebody can come aboard and talk about something that they plan on doing, because we don't know planning. All we know is that there's going to the only thing they're going to do is diss the other guy. So we'll have to see what happens there, but it's pretty amazing. Google's doing a big giveaway. Google is saying that in an email, for all those who pre-ordered the Nexus Q, which I suppose is like an Apple TV kind of box.
I have one.
You like it?
I can't figure out what to do with it.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe you can sell it. But the initial feedback from users that got it so far was they wanted to have even more in the product than it does today. So Google wrote and said, "We've decided to postpone the consumer launch of Nexus Q while we work on making it even better. And for that, we're going to give you a little thank you. That if you invested early and you had interest early and you maybe ordered it, we're going to send you the Nexus Q currently, the preview, for free."
Hmm.
How do you like that?
Yeah. Maybe we'll get another one.
Yeah, maybe.
That I won't.
So
be
that's
able
kind
to
of
use.
Interesting. Well, I find it really interesting that Google, you know, makes a product. They have it ready for order. They obviously built some, and they opened up for comment, and they said, "Oh yeah, that'd be good if we did that," and then just stops everything in their tracks, and then just that's kind of a little crazy. Why didn't they build it so it could be upgradable to begin with?
That's a little odd. Yes, they should have. It should have been a field upgradable device that would download an upgrade and patch it in. Yeah.
That's just. It seems to be.
I don't know why this thing sold. It says Nexus U sold out. Who's buying this thing and why?
Well, it's sold out because they're not going to sell it. They're not. They're not
it's
shipping.
It's $300.
Yeah, I don't know what it does.
Well, it's heavy too. The thing weighs a ton.
Really? Does it have a hard drive in it?
No.
So it doesn't even have a hard drive, and it weighs a ton.
It weighs a ton. Yeah. It's got a 25 watt amp.
So you could plug in, so you can have speakers on the external speakers?
Yeah, you could.
Why didn't they just make wireless speakers for it? That's too easy. Right. I have one of those sound bars on my TV.
I think you can use wireless speakers because it has Bluetooth.
Mm. Yeah, those sound good. I have one of those sound bars for my Samsung TV, and it has a wireless subwoofer. The whole thing sounds great. You know, instead of spending like $3,000 on all those speakers and all that, you put a little sound bar right in front. And that does the mid-range and the high-end, and then you just kind of stick a sub.
You can
somewhere.
Get away with murder if you have a good subwoofer.
Yeah, definitely.
You can have crap, cheap, chintzy sound, and a subwoofer kind of makes it sound a lot better.
Right, exactly. Now, I want to tell you something, but I don't want you to get upset. Okay? The Postal Service.
Oh, here we go.
I know you'll probably get upset about this. The Postal Service is going to miss a $5.5 billion payment to the U.S. Treasury.
Yeah.
There's those out there that think that the Postal Service is actually profitable.
It is.
And this whole thing is a gigantic conspiracy just to make the books of the federal government look better at the cost of the Postal Service, because everybody hates the Postal Service anyway. You might as well keep on making them look bad. So you think this is a big scam?
Yeah.
And that the Postal Service is profitable.
Yeah.
And that everything that goes on to cut back or to raise the costs and when they miss payments or the potential bankruptcy, all that is a giant misdirection for some other reason.
They were dinged for having to fund their retirees 5 years in advance of when they really should fund it. So all of a sudden they got this huge bill saying, "Hey, we decided you have to pre-fund this – your retirees by 5 years." I think it's five, maybe be longer. And it put them in the hole immediately. It's like, wait a minute, we've been funding it. Why do we have to fund it now in advance? I mean, why are we funding, like, for people that aren't, it was set up to be a scam. They're trying to shut it down because I think, I don't know who's behind it, but I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't Federal Express.
So FedEx may have it out for the Postal Service and somehow is lobbying to make them look really bad so that maybe they get enough ammunition together to shut them down and have FedEx take over the Postal Service?
Or UPS, one of the two, or both. Who knows?
That's kind of far-fetched.
Yeah, was it far-fetched? I mean, you ever send a letter by FedEx or send one? So you can go to the post office, you can buy a 45-cent stamp and you can send an ounce to somebody in New York. What does it cost you to send a letter on FedEx? It's not 50 cents, I'll tell you that right now.
Eight bucks, seven bucks, eight bucks.
Plus.
Yeah. Or you could just use a fax or a scan, but, you know, that would be too
easy. If you have a signed document, right. Are you sending somebody a check?
Right. But you could wire money in instead of sending them a check.
Have you ever done wiring? Wire money?
$25
Yeah.
So you believe, again, just to restate this point, that the Postal Service is profitable, but somehow there's a big conspiracy to make them look unprofitable.
It's not a big conspiracy. It's just a small group of guys that are doing this. This is a scam. The unions all know about this. They've talked about it endlessly, and nobody wants to listen. I think it's weird. It's very weird.
Well, what gets to the press is always how bad the Postal Service is doing financially. I've never seen anything. Have you ever seen a headline about the Postal Service being, you know, heavily profitable?
No. I guess if you can't, you find it in alternative media where they're more honest.
You know, I guess if you did say that the Post Office was profitable, seriously now, people would be all pissed off and demand a lower cost of stamps.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Corn prices are going through the roof. Just absolutely. I don't know if you can pull this up, but a price chart of corn. I didn't give you one, but it kind of meanders along for a little while there. And about a month or so ago, it goes 90 degrees straight up.
Yeah.
I think corn is 50% up over the last.
Was there an ETF we missed or something that would have picked up on this stuff?
You could have had DBA. Check out DBA, but that's a mixture of four different. Well, it's probably done well. Check that out. DBA is the agriculture DBA, ETF, and has corn, wheat, sugar, and soybeans, I believe. And where is it year-to-date? Let's see. Year-to-date, it's up 4%. So obviously – although if you look at where it was in the middle of June, it was at 26 and it's now 30, so that's 15% up. So obviously
yeah, not that much.
That's not the play there. So you know, some of these ETFs don't really work – as they should. There is a – let's see if there's something corn here. Well, let's just type in corn. See what happens. Corn. Owens Corning. No. Tecrum Corn Fund. Oh, it's – I don't know what that is. It's the Tucrium Corn Fund. Symbol, C-O-R-N.
Let's see what this is. Moving to grain corn.
This is better. This is up 21% year-to-date. This looks right. I'm not sure what this exactly does, this particular fund, but let's see what it says. It's a commodity pool that a series of some trust, Delaware, so, fund is daily change in percentage of the net asset value, for the daily change in percentage of weighted average of the closing prices, oh my, for the futures corn product that are traded on the Chicago board. All right, that's good.
Yeah, it's skyrocketing. It was at 30, what, 5, and now it's 50, almost 52?
Yeah.
Or 50?
So,
is it 50?
Yep. So that's so let's see where it is in the last month. That would be about right. 22%. 33% in the last 3 months. Now what that's doing is making a real big problem for – well, first of all, one of the problems is the ethanol. You know, ethanol is being used and made from corn. And there are – you know, every time you go to a gas station, you'll see a sign that says this product is being – you know, may have up to, what, 10% of ethanol in it or something like that. And because it was cheaper for a while, and not so much anymore. And the bigger problem is that the corn is also used for not only things like corn oil and various other fillers and corn syrup for sweeteners and stuff, but it's also used for feed, particularly for poultry. So this is the reason why one of the stocks I'm going to talk about today, I've talked about before, is something that I want to take a look at in short, because if you look at the recent earnings announcement, they also were very upset. They said that in the last couple of months, chicken prices, the parts that they use, are up like 80%. That's a big move. So that's a big part of their overall cost structure. And you know, most companies like Chipotle Mexican Grill, have you seen that stock lately? CMG. Now think about if you walk into one of those restaurants. And what do you have? You have pork, you have beef, you have chicken, but you also have all these vegetables that they have and the corn that they use. They use a lot, corn in a lot of things. That stock took an absolute nosedive from the mid-400s down to about 292 today.
Wow. Look at that. It looks like somebody fell off the cliff.
It looks an inverse of what, though? Inverse of corn.
Yeah, it's the same as the other one upside down.
Right. So this, you know, finally what happened was that this was also a hope trade for a while. Management was out there saying how, you know, they're going to have higher prices. They are going to try to adjust their menus. They'll see, but they don't want to do it right now. And the last call, I think it was the third time in a row, they said the same thing about higher costs, but the costs were much higher this time. And they talked about, you know, they're not increasing menu prices right now because obviously with the consumer having limited wage increases and the fact is they have a lot of choices out there, raising prices may be good temporarily just to, you know, goose the margins. But the fact is how much of the gross revenues don't come in because of that. So one of the stocks we identified some time ago, which is a high flyer that is has a very big potential of moving down. I've talked about it several times over the last several months on podcasts. I think I mentioned here is Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, yeah, one of your faves. Well, let's take a look at our stocks.
Yeah, let's go to the stocks. Let me go over there. Now, this list of stocks you can find is a Google spreadsheet where we actually have the ability to put in various stocks that we talk about in this little game that we play, and it will actually update live, sucking in the data from Google Finance. And you can build these yourself if you want to. You have to use mnemonics and things like that. Not too hard to do. But basically what we do is we have a little game we play here. This is not for use in any specific investing. We're not recommending or suggesting you buy or sell any of the securities on here. Investing in stocks is a risky business, and you should seek professional advice. Some of the stocks may be owned by myself or my clients or John. So just, you know, keep aware of that. We will have disclosures on this to see if that is something we own for ourselves or clients. So why don't you take the list and take a look at it?
Well, we got the long-term one here, still the Icon thing, which isn't doing – I mean, it's still up, but it's not doing well. I mean, it's doing okay. The big winner, of course, is Cliffs Natural Resources, which you shorted, and excellent call. Yeah. And HP, which you shorted, is the second best one on here, which is a ludicrous short and did quite well.
I agree.
On the upside of long, we've got Cracker Barrel seems to be at least hanging in there. Vivis, which is a... is that drug company that should go? This stock should go up eventually. It's the
diet drug. But the problem is it has had some other competition come into the market. That was one of the things that happened. Another company was approved recently. So, and these are biotechs. They always see a lot of a movement.
Goldman Sachs is a good pick. That's gone up. But then we have a few dogs that are just kind of dying here. Opco Health, which is an insider trading thing or insider buying it. Didn't work out, or so far. J.P. Morgan is not doing that much. My Apple short is still around from April, but it's now back to even. So it has to take a hit here before, or hopefully it don't get shut down. Luckily, it's got so expensive, it's going to have to go to 670, I think, before I get kicked off.
Exactly.
Chart Industries, Activision Blizzard, the stock picked by kids, has not done well. Dell is moving up a little bit on a short. It's another short. Titan Machinery is a short that's done very well. And a couple of these other ones are, you have a couple of longs like Nu Skin, which has done well, which is kind of surprising to me.
Well, the reason why Nu Skin actually has done well is the reason why we like a company called Herbalife, for example, which we alerted a few days ago.
Yeah, same
thing. It got hit. It's a, we'll call it a multi-level marketing kind of thing, you know, like Tupperware. But it got hit not because of their earnings, because of some concern about the way that they book their revenues and all that. And if they were to come out with a decent earnings number, we thought they would do very well, which when they came out with earnings this week, they were up like 8%. Or last week, I guess.
So you got two new stocks. I've got nothing. You have Buffalo Wild Wings as a short and Leg Mason as a short.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would have hoped that you would have picked the Buffalo Wild Wings when you first started talking about the corn thing, which was a couple of weeks ago.
I will tell you, though, that the Buffalo Wild Wings did take one hit down about 18% overnight on their earnings. The next day it was down. The day after, or maybe down 17% for the next day, it went up about 4 or 5%. It went up a little bit more after that. But right now, oftentimes what happens is when you see a stock take a hit, but then it rebounds a little bit because some people try to, you know.
Yeah, this is the theory we started the show with.
Right. If you see that take another turn down, that's the optimal place to actually short. Mm. Because what you'll have is a flurry of selling the first day. People are kind of absorbing the information. The next day or day after that, people come in and say, hey, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe it will base out here, et cetera. Now what happens is you have those people that bought right at that level, right? If the stock moves lower, now you have an additional catalyst from the short-term players that will pull the plug if it moves lower. And that will start another kind of movement down on the stock. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll also tell you that this week in a feature article in Barron's, they also had a full page on why Buffalo Wild Wings is, you know, potentially going down to 62.
And Barron's, of course, being your favorite financial vehicle.
I stopped reading it. I actually saw this article somewhere else, and I read it through another, you know, somebody who summarized it and kind of looked at it. But, you know, it just happened to be something I was interested in. But other than that, I'm not going near it. Legg Mason had poor earnings. Legg Mason is clearly – it moved up to its resistance level and, you know, where it couldn't get above, and it bounced down. And they also lost their the main fund that they had for years was the Legg Mason Value Trust run by a guy named Bill Miller, who had extraordinary luck and maybe skill for years and years and years and years. And his whole idea was, you know, really load up on the financials, and as they go down, buy more of them. And he continued with that strategy through 2007 to 2009,
yeah,
which only got worse by the minute when he was doing it, you know, and never really recovered, lost a tremendous – I think he was down 70% one year or 60%, something awful. And he was like the mutual fund manager of the decade a couple of times. And now they lost that. Plus, they're heavy into bonds. And if bonds start selling off, you know, what's the question? What's going to happen there? And even with bonds being good and a lot of people putting money into bonds, they still had a poor earnings number. Hmm. So I think that there's an opportunity to, you know, see something there. And plus the financials, if anything happens out of the ordinary in Europe, well, the financials will get kind of hurt. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Okay. I think that's going to do it.
Just to remind everybody, if there is a Countryman microphone that you feel willing to part with as a temporary loan, I'd love to check it out and just to see what the sound differential is. You know how to contact me. Seriously, I'm not kidding about this. I'm not beneath begging for a loan or rental.
Why? It's the perfect economy to be begging.
Yeah, all right. There you go. So, you know.
You've never used one. I mean, I've used the Countryman. They're quite astonishing.
Yeah, I can't. It's just amazing that little bitty device has such, I hear such wonderful sound.
Big booming. Yeah, it sounds like it's amazing. It's quite amazing. Hmm. I think they're using MEMS or some fancy. Mm. So it's hard to say.
All right, well, we're going to talk next week. A couple of things I want to mention. You have coming up tomorrow the Fed meeting, Thursday ECB decision, Friday the non-farms payroll report, which is going to be the biggie for the unemployment rate as well as the amount of people who have actually found jobs. The number is estimated to come in at 8.2% for unemployment and 100,000 new jobs added, which will be slow if that is the case, not going anywhere.
Okay, great. All right, we'll talk again next Tuesday. You're watching the Olympics?
Yeah, the swimming has been pretty good. The women's volleyball was great until the weather turned and they had to put on
clothes.
You know, but that was kind of neat. The gymnastics has been great. Badminton is killer.
Actually, the two sports they don't show on primetime and they should. Badminton is actually quite phenomenal when you see really
it's
good
great.
Players. It's like, wow. And then the other one that is really amazing is table tennis.
Yeah, yeah.
The guys are 10 miles back from the table, whacking the ball as hard as they can, and the ball curves.
Right. Are those tables smaller than a usual ping pong table?
No, but it seems so because the guys are, no, they're the same size table. Hmm. And they're back a mile. I don't know, it was a decade or more ago, I had found a really good way, a good instruction on how to hit the ball like that. It's an overhand shot. You hold the paddle funny, and then you don't really hit the ball straight up. You hit the ball on the top of the ball as hard as you can, and you swing like crazy. I mean, you just give it all you've got. And the ball, unfortunately, of course, you have to be doing this all the time to get any good at it. But occasionally you could do it right, and you get the effect where the ball goes flying, and then just before it goes off the end of the other side of the table, it drops and hits the table and then bounces way up. It's pretty interesting way of playing the game. I think the Asians are the ones who perfected this style.
Yeah, I mean, I like the more obscure. Like, for example, in the Winter Olympics, my favorite thing is the curling.
Everybody, I like curling, especially women curling.
It's the best. I love it. Seriously, I think badminton is my number one.
It's weird entertainment value, I agree.
Yeah, and after you watch the badminton and the table tennis, watching regular tennis is like slow motion.
Yeah, no, it is. It's
you know? So that I like the high diving and the archery was kind of fun. Italy got beat us by beat USA by 1 point. And I think right now, as it stands, the United States and China are tied for medals. I think China has quite a few more gold medals, but the overall medal status 23-23, I believe.
Yeah.
And between USA and China, so pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, we have to go with total medals now because we can't go with gold because we're not going to win that.
Right, exactly. And there's a couple of great apps for the iPad and for the iPhone that you can play because everything is delayed.
Yeah, no, I was watching some live on an iPad. It works.
Yeah, it works really nicely. So.
All right, we'll talk again next week. And until then, maybe somebody will get a hold of you with a, you know, saying, you know, I've got a Countryman mic in the drawer.
Yep, that'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
It would be.
All right, I'll see you soon.
Adios.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.